Hi, this is Wayne Zell, and welcome back to Power of Attorney Radio. And with me today is my special guest, Brian Nguyen, who's a principal at Bond Beebe. Welcome, Brian. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Wayne.
Brian's a tax specialist with over a decade of experience, and he provides insightful tax planning, consulting, and compliance services to closely held businesses, individuals, and their families. He specializes in serving high net worth individuals and families, guiding clients with custom tax strategies that account for rapidly evolving financial and tax conditions. Don't you and I know that? And his extensive experience allows him to provide comprehensive tax and retirement planning solutions that focus on wealth preservation, enabling clients to not only meet but exceed their goals, and a variety of other things I'm sure that he's going to tell us about today. Tell me a little bit about Bond Beebe, the firm that you work with.
Sure. Bond Beebe is a full-service certified public accounting firm. We do tax and audit work. We're primarily out of Bethesda, Maryland. We have an office in Alexandria, Virginia, too. We celebrated our 80th anniversary 2 years ago.
So congratulations.
Thanks. We were formed in 1932.
80 years. Wow.
Yeah. I was not there for all of it.
Well, since you've only been practicing for a decade, yes, right. I hope you weren't there.
Right.
In prior life.
Yeah. So what I do is I primarily do tax compliance and planning for individuals. We have a lot of people there that work primarily with businesses, trust, estate, the full gamut, basically. We have an audit team that works small businesses in the area. We have clients all over the country, but we primarily focus on professional service firms in D.C. We have an audit practice that is actually nationwide. They do labor unions, benefit plans all over the country.
That's good to know. So all of you listeners out there who are part of a labor union accounting workforce, take note of that. Now, let's talk a little bit about 2013 tax planning. I've harped on it over and over again, you know, throughout the year. I just had a show on it. Tell me a little bit about it, the recap of the 2013 tax changes and how they're going to impact individuals.
Sure. Yeah. And as you said, I know you spoke about this a few weeks ago, but we'll quickly recap it just to give
That's
a
fine.
Foundation for the conversation. The way that I like to categorize these is to look at tiers of income. So 2013, there's no doubt there's going to be tax increases for many higher income taxpayers. The first tier that really kicks in is at the $250,000 level if you're married. And we'll talk mostly about married incomes just
Sure.
to keep things simple today.
Okay.
The $250,000 level, you actually have two tax increases. One is the net investment income tax. So, right. And we hope this is a short-lived tax increase. We'll see what happens in the next several years. But basically, it's a 3.8% tax on investment income. And 3.8 comes from another piece, which we'll talk about in a second, but it's basically meant to be an equivalent of the Medicare tax, even though it does not fund Medicare.
Got it.
So on earned income, though, there's also an increase, which is an additional 0.9% Medicare tax. So most people were paying 2.9, add 0.9 to that, you get 3.8. You've got 3.8 on earned income over 250. You've got 3.8 on investment income or unearned income over 250.
So they're getting us both ways, both on our working income as well as our dividends and our interest and our capital gains.
Right, right.
Ouch.
So so that's at 250. So if you go to the next level, you talk about 300,000 and above, and we call these the stealth tax increases. You talked about them on your show.
Mm-hmm.
It's a phase out of both the personal exemptions and most itemized deductions, the ones that really matter. It affects your charitable contributions, affects your mortgage interest, your miscellaneous itemized deductions. It avoids medical and investment interest and gambling losses to the extent people claim those.
So if your income exceeds this magic $300,000
right.
level, it starts to phase out.
Yep. So you start to lose these deductions and exemptions that reduce your taxable income. So it's a stealth tax increase because there's no definitive percentage you can put on it, but it really is going to hurt just as much.
So if you use the exemptions, you're not going to be able to use them if your income's too high.
Correct.
And if your deductions, if you use a lot of itemized deductions, your itemized deductions are going to go away.
Right. And itemized deductions, it actually goes all the way down to take a full 80% of your itemized deductions, depending on how high your income goes. So you can imagine that somebody that relies on a lot of state taxes or mortgage interest or charitable contributions especially, they're just losing the benefit of these things the higher income they have.
You know, a lot of people have speculated that this is going to impact charitable giving, for at least by those who have income levels over these magic sure. thresholds, but I hope not. I hope not.
Sure. Yeah, and we'll talk about in a minute a strategy to get around that, at least for 2013.
Okay.
And then just to put the icing on the cake to get to the 450.
All the good stuff, right?
The $450,000 level, you've got an additional tax bracket basically at the top that it's instead of 35% being the top one, now you're at 39.6%. And on top of that, you've got your qualified dividends and capital gains rates, which were 15%, go to 20% once you get over this level as well. So
the good news is that they kept all the tax rates for basically the lower income levels,
right,
that were in effect because of President Bush's tax bills that were enacted in 2001 and 2003. But the bad news is they had to pay for it somehow.
Yep. And this is the compromise. So, and just to be clear too, if your total income is less than $250,000, if you're married, none of this affects you. You're pretty much in the clear.
So you can turn off the radio or go to another channel. But this is for those of you that do care about because your income is at a higher level.
Right, right. So in this area, that's most people.
Yeah, it's a lot of people. So tell us about the planning opportunities under the new tax laws.
Okay. So this year, basically, the way that I look at it and the way that I hope most people look at it is it matters a little bit more than other years to control that income level, because now you've got taxes that kind of come in at different levels as your income rises. And you know, if you're at $240,000, you're going to get hit at $250,000. It might make sense to try to trim here and there. And in the past, that's always been true because the less income you have, the less tax you pay. But this year, with all these additional surtaxes, it's really important to kind of keep that lower and lower.
So you're saying don't take the income. What happens if you have no control over that?
Well, that's tough. So we've got a couple different strategies depending on where you fall.
Okay.
The first one I want to bring up is if you own a business and you have the ability to increase retirement plan contributions, you can get $51,000 in a SEP IRA or a qualified plan. That will shield your income from tax and it keeps your income lower. So if you have the ability, if you have the means to put more money away for retirement, we absolutely recommend. If you're an employee, if you haven't maxed out your 401k and you're near these limits, get that thing maxed out before the end of the year if you can. And certainly going forward, keep it maxed out so that you defer as much income as possible.
And it's a deferral because when you take it out later on, it's going to be subject to ordinary income rates.
Sure.
But at least you get the time value of money. And if you're young and you put as much away as you possibly can, then you're doing better than most of the people in the economy.
Right. And this is always good advice, but it's especially true this year and especially true if you're coming up on one of these inflection points, the $250,000, the $300,000, or the $450,000.
Got it.
Another just general advice, capital losses. Take capital losses at year end. It's been another good year in the stock market. There's a lot of gains out there. Higher income taxpayers that invest in alternative investments don't always have the ability to control gains.
Right.
But if you can get an estimate of what you have and you can ask your broker, your advisor to start harvesting some losses, that'll help you. And so now, in addition to just your tax brackets, you've got this net investment tax, you've got the higher rates for high income taxpayers on capital gains. It really behooves you to try to get some losses in there to try to minimize those income levels.
So if you've got capital gain that's going to kick you into a higher rate bracket, use the capital losses because you can use your capital losses to the extent of your capital gains,
yep,
right?
Yep, and a little extra, but yeah.
And a little, not much, but
$3,000.
$3,000.
So that's always a good thing. You can always repurchase the securities, although there is the rule, the 30-day rule. So you don't want to repurchase the same securities within 30 days or the loss will be disallowed. But you can put it on the calendar and come February 1st or sometime before then, you can repurchase them.
Right.
So let's get a little bit more creative. Another idea is donating appreciated securities instead of cash. So you talked a little bit about losing some of the benefit of charitable contributions. So I've got two recommendations for you. One is if you donate appreciated securities, you actually win twice. So you get the full value of the donation currently, but you do not have to pay capital gains tax on the difference between what you purchased the security for and what the value is today.
The problem with that is you don't get the cash.
You don't get the cash, right.
The charity does, but that's not a problem. If you're charitably inclined, that's a great thing.
Sure. Well, think about if you've made a commitment to a charity for, you know, $40,000 this year, instead of giving cash out at the end of the year to fulfill that commitment, donate some securities directly, and you'll really benefit from that. That donation can still be phased out, but it's going to keep your income levels down, which is going to help.
Good idea.
The last thing is something that's expiring this year, and it's the ability to directly donate money from your IRA. And this is sort of another one of these double benefit approaches. The government has basically allowed you to fulfill the requirement that you distribute a certain amount of money from your IRA once you reach age 70 and a half. You can fulfill that requirement by directly donating funds to a qualified charity. And this does two things. It avoids picking up the income. So again, you're reducing your income from the very beginning, and your charitable deductions are not affected by any of the phase outs because it comes directly out of the IRA.
Because normally charitable contributions are limited to a percentage of your income.
Correct.
So this is not even counted towards that.
It's not counted to that towards that. It's not subject to the phase outs that happen, the 3% of the itemized deductions. So this can be a really good trick if you're age 70 and a half or older. And as of today, it's not going to be extended beyond this year. So on December 31st, 2013, the ability to do this ends.
I think that's true. It's up to $100,000,
right? Up to $100,000,
so anything over that, you can't do it with. But you can take up to $100,000 out of your IRA, give it to a charity, avoid having to take it into income, credit it towards your required minimum distribution, and the charity wins. It's a great planning technique.
Right. And in the past, it hasn't really mattered too much because you're just offsetting rates. But this year, again, with surtaxes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, in general, we just talk about deferring income if possible and accelerating deductions if you own a business.
If you've got your own business, it's mm-hmm. a great way to do it.
Right.
Now, one thing you got to be careful of is if somebody hands you a check and you put it in the drawer. What's the rule on that, Brian?
It's when you receive the check that you have to recognize
the
income. But likewise,
tell that to all my clients out there.
Likewise, with a deduction, though, date the check, put it in the mail by December 31st, and you get the deduction this year.
As long as you get it in the mail.
As long as you get it in the mail, right?
That's right.
Can't put that one in the drawer. And the last point on that is just in general, one thing to think about if you do have to take required minimum distributions from an IRA and you have the ability to defer in that first year, you may want to think twice about that just because bunching income into 2014 might go against all the other tips that I just said because you're increasing your income. Even though you think you're doing a good thing this year, you might be pushing more income into 2014.
Which could be taxed at the high rate.
Could be taxed at the higher rate.
So you really have to sort of look at all your circumstances,
right.
Your facts and circumstances,
sure.
And work with your CPA, work with Brian to figure out what your individual tax liability will be.
Right.
Tell us about the AMT. That was one thing I wanted to run
sure.
by you.
Yeah, so AMT actually got fixed, quote unquote. It's still a tax. It still affects a lot of higher income taxpayers. But for years, the public and Congress were battling. AMT was originally designed to capture higher income taxpayers that were deducting their way into a very low tax bracket. So what AMT does, it's called the alternative minimum tax.
Thank you.
Is it disallows a lot of deductions that you would otherwise normally be entitled to. It's almost a flat tax. There's two tax brackets, 26 and 28%. You're given one large exemption instead of several deductions. And you know, the problem is they never adjusted the exemption to account for inflation. So the exemption for a married couple was something like $30,000 it kept reverting to. They've fixed that now. They've set it to a more reasonable level. It's about $80,000 a year as an exemption for a married couple, and they've indexed it to inflation automatically.
Yay.
It used to be that they couldn't find the revenue, and they kept having to reauthorize it sometime on December, you know, 25th, 26th. They were doing it each year, and it made planning really, really challenging. So there is some good news in that they fixed that element of the tax code.
And that shelters most people who are at lower income levels from the alternative minimum tax, but it doesn't help those of us who may have stock option exercises and gains and things like that, which really kick you into a higher tax bracket anyway.
Right.
It may not protect you.
Right.
So you've got to watch out, especially if you have incentive stock options, watch out for that.
Right.
So with about a minute left, what can you tell us that the listeners should do? What things should they get ready to do to finish out 2013 in style?
Well, I just think that you should have a good idea of where you're going to fall. It's always good to minimize taxes. We always tell people, don't let the tax tail wag the dog. Don't drive a mile to save a penny on a gallon of gas. You know, some of these things are—
That's good advice.
Some of these things are general advice anyway that would work for everyone. But don't let, what you read in the Wall Street Journal or the Washington Post scare you too much. But just have a good idea of where you're going to fall. If you need to reach out to your accountant or CPA, you can. And you can always reach out to me.
How do we get in touch with you?
So you can email me. It's wynne at bbcpa.com. The letter B, the letter B, cpa.com. You can follow us on our blog. It's bbcpa.com/blog. We do almost weekly posts about tax updates. And you can always give me a call, 301-272-6000.
You've certainly demonstrated your expertise as a tax specialist. That's Brian Wynn of Bond Beebe. Thanks for being a special guest on Power of Attorney Radio.
Thank you, Wayne. It was my pleasure.
And thanks for listening. Tune in next week for another special topic and special guest. Have a great week.